Hi, and welcome to the West Visalia Audio Podcast. Each message is designed to help you grow and inspire you to take action. Please take a moment to hit the subscribe button, and don't be shy to drop us a message if you have a question. Thanks for listening, and God bless.
I want to ask you this morning, what causes you stress? Like, well, that doesn't sound exciting to talk about, but all of us have different things that we stress over, whether it be serious matters, you know, our families, our finances, our spiritual futures, the church, our country, the world, illness. Those are normal stresses. I understand that. I'm kind of an eccentric kind of person, though, as you're aware, after me being your preacher here for like 15 years, that I'm kind of weird. I stress. See, I got it. That's one of my sermons, but prove it to you. Of the things that stress me out the most, lawns stress me out. Not my own lawn. I take care of that one for the most part. But other people's lawns stress me out. Really, and it drives my wife insane that I'm stressed out about this because I'll talk about it all the time. I'll be driving down our street or the streets near us, and I'll see people who didn't edge their lawn. And then I grumble about it. I murmur, well, they have a nice car, but they can't edge their lawn. I say things like that. You know, all those real godly things you shouldn't be thinking. But, and I get upset about it, and I worry, well, what if they don't ever edge their lawn, and it just takes over the sidewalk, and then one day our house gets appraised, and then it's appraised lower because a neighbor has too tall of grass. That's how the process works in my crazy mind. So I stress at all. And my wife, who's a whole lot smarter than me, she'll tell me this. She'll go, you know, there's nothing you could do about it, so get over it. It's not your lawn. Well, by the way, when their car leaves, you can do something about it. But that's another story. But anyway, she'll tell me there's nothing you can do about it. And she's right. I can't control the actions of every single person on this planet. Now, I think the world would be a lot better place if you'd all let me, but it doesn't usually work out that way. There's nothing I can do about it. Maybe a little bit more serious than lawns. You know, maybe you'll look at the stock market like, man, that since the beginning of the year, the market's been down. But you know what? My wife, who's a whole lot smarter than me, will tell me something like, well, we should trust in God because those things don't really matter. And of course, she's right again. And she's not alone in those thoughts. I know that idea is biblical. So this morning, what I want us to do is this. Our sermon is going to have one main point. And I want to hammer this point over and over again because although somebody's lawn being too tall is kind of silly, I understand that. But we have this tendency to focus on the wrong things. And when we focus on the wrong things, no matter what it is, focusing on the wrong things will bring us stress. But focusing on the right things will give our life purpose. And that's our theme for this year. And the reason I think we don't find purpose, whether it be as individuals or even as a church, because churches a lot of times focus on the wrong things. And then they get stressed out about the wrong things. I remember one time sitting in a meeting where they're talking about the new upholstery on a church pew. I mean, that was the most involved church planning meeting I had ever been in. Everybody had a viewpoint. Everybody had thoughts on that. But does it really matter? No, but it caused a lot of stress. I think like three churches started after that meeting. Yeah, right? But focusing on the right things will give us purpose. It'll give us meaning. It'll give us direction. With that in mind, remember last week, we were talking about from the Sermon on the Mount, how oftentimes we spend a great deal of time focusing on the wrong items. We talked about how internet marketers know this and they'll target ads based upon your interest. And it's kind of a good tell. You're like, wait a second, I'm probably interested in the wrong things if the only things I'm getting ads for are things that really I shouldn't be interested in. And we talked about how you can see how you spend your time maybe on an electronic device like your cell phone. But we talked about even if you don't have a phone, maybe you lay out your budget about where you spend your money each month and you can realize where your priorities are. And we talked about the need to realign our priorities in the proper place because God doesn't just want us to do the right things. He wants us to think and believe and feel the right way. God wants us to change who we are from the inside out. And we concluded last week with this idea that Jesus wants us to change our priorities. Well, that was part one of the lesson. Part one was last week, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. This week, we're going to be looking at part two of that same section. Now, remember, we're going through the Sermon on the Mount. And if you're new to the Bible, the Old Testament is kind of the story of a certain family called the family of Abraham. They later become the Israelites, the Hebrews, the Jews. It's their story, but it also is pointing us toward Jesus. When Jesus comes on the scene and we have his stories in the New Testament, it begins with some biographies of him, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In those biographies, we have the encounters that Jesus has with different people. We have recorded for us things he said and he taught, parables and so on. Well, in the book of Matthew, we have recorded for us a sermon actually given by Jesus. So that's pretty awesome. So we're spending a lot of time these last several months looking at that sermon that Jesus preached. And in the middle of this sermon, Jesus spends a great deal of time talking about where we are focused. And we left off in chapter 6, verse 24, where he says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." And now this week, we're going to be talking again about this idea of changing our priorities. But what I want you to keep in your mind is this right here. Focusing on the wrong things will bring you stress, but focusing on the right things will give you purpose. Let me prove it to you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. And really, this whole idea starts back at verse 24. But verse 25, it says, "For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried." Maybe your version says, "Do not be anxious," or "Do not stress about your life as to what you will drink, or as to what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and is the body more than clothing?" Now, he doesn't talk about silly things like your neighbor's lawn, but he does talk about things that it's normal to worry about, right? Food, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, then make sure you have clothes on. Not what types of clothes. Oh, I got to have clothes for this occasion, but basically, are you going to have clothes to wear so that you don't freeze to death, right? So he says, "I tell you, don't worry." Now, if there's anything that we would assume it's healthy and prudent to worry about, it's daily needs. Food, drink, clothing. Those are needs that we have. We're not talking about a new car. We're not talking about moving to a better school district. We're not talking about retirement accounts and abundance. And all. We're talking about basic things. Food, drink, clothing. You need those to live. And yet Jesus says, don't worry about it. Almost sounds flippant, doesn't it? Don't worry about your life. Specifically about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. And then he says, life's so much more than that. Well, first off, that is a good theological truth, because if you're always worried about daily things on a daily basis, you're never going to actually live your life. Worry, anxiety, stress will break your life, ruin your life. He says, life's so much more than that. But I think he's going a little bit deeper here. Because as you go on, he says, verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air." So he gives an illustration, which looked out my sliding glass door this morning, saw a whole bunch of birds out there in the backyard. Sadly, it's because I laid down a whole bunch of grass seed. Again, I'm in session with lawns, I'm telling you. But he says, "Look at the birds of the air." And these are nice, pretty words, because they're like these doves that fly around our neighborhood. I don't know where they live. But he says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow. They don't plant crops. They don't plant a lawn. They're smarter than that, right?" He goes, "They do not reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them." He says, look out there at nature, right? He says, look at it. He says, you look at these birds. They don't stress about where food's going to be. They don't store up for the future. They don't plant a vineyard. None of that. He goes, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And the person hearing this goes, yeah, God does take care of them. That's what God does. He takes care of birds. And he asks this question. Are you not worth much more than they? Now, he's not making some big environmental truth like humans are, none of that kind of stuff. Don't overthink it. He's saying, look, humans are more important than animals. God takes care of birds. Don't you think he'll take care of you? And then he goes on, verse 27, he makes this statement. He says, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? He goes, what benefit is there worrying? Have you ever met anybody that likes to worry? No, not that it seems like they like to worry, but literally says, I enjoy being stressed. I enjoy anxiety that causes me to lose sleep and hair and to gain weight. No one says any of that. No one goes, I sure do like being stressed out, anxious, and worried all the time. No, people don't like being worried. We want things to be calm. We want things to be easy. We want things to be smooth. Jesus says, why would you worry? Because tell me, he says, can any of you extend your life by being worried? No. In fact, scientifically, you can shorten your life by being worried all the time. High blood pressure and all that kind of stuff that comes along with it, right? He goes, which of you can being worried can make your life longer? You can't. That's his point. So then he illustrates it more. Verse 28. He says, and why are you worried about clothing? So why are you worried about, well, what if we don't have clothes? He goes, observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. So look out there at a sea of wildflowers or something like that. He goes, they don't make clothing. They don't toil. They don't work hard for this. He goes, yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all of his glory, Solomon, the wealthiest man that ever lived, and a while back, probably like 5 years ago, I was preaching about Solomon, about his wealth and so on. He goes, Solomon, in all his glory, didn't have anything like this. He goes, he didn't clothe himself like one of these. Verse 30, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? He goes, look, take a plant, take a flower. It's more beautiful than anything that humans can produce. And yet, if God's going to clothe a flower in such beauty and fine array, don't you think he's going to take care of you, the crowning element of his creation, the only part that he said is made in his image? Don't you think he'll take care of you? He goes, you of little faith. Now, if we just stopped right there, we go, well, hold up, but we need clothing, we need food, we need stuff to drink. Then Jesus says, do not worry then, saying, what we will eat or what we will drink or what we will wear for clothing. He says, don't worry about any of that. For the Gentiles or the nations, the world, eagerly seek all those things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Why are we stressing if God knows we need them? Because here's the deal. If you truly have faith in God, if you truly trust in God and believe that he is God and that he loves you and cares for you, you're going to trust that God will take care of you. When you're worrying all the time, you know what you're doing? You know what I'm doing when I worry about things all the time? I'm worried because I'm not in control, as opposed to letting God be in control. Or maybe the fact I'm worrying about those certain things is because I think I'm the one providing all things. I think I'm the one producing everything. I think I'm the one accomplishing everything, as opposed to giving credit to God. Maybe that's why we worry. A lack of control, or of thinking that we are in control. Jesus says, don't worry about that, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. What's the point? Point is this. When you focus on the wrong things, you're going to have stress. And think about any time in your life when you've had a lot of stress. I bet you for the most part it's that. We're focusing on the wrong things. But when we focus on the right things, all of a sudden things start to make sense. We will have purpose and meaning and direction in our life. So then look what Jesus says in chapter 6. 33, probably most famous verse of the entire sermon. He says, but seek first, number one, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now let's break this down just a second. First off, he says, stop worrying and stressing about all these other things, but only focus on what? The kingdom. If we're focused on the kingdom, everything else will find its place and we will have purpose and meaning in our life. The problem is, we're over here dealing with everything else in our life, hoping if we can get this in order, then I can focus on the kingdom. And I think I saw this happen these last couple of years with all the stuff with COVID. I've heard so many people, myself included, say, when things get back to normal, then I will fill in the blank, right? And that's what we're waiting for. That's what I hear prayers for all the time. That's what we're talking about all the time. That's what we're waiting for the newscaster to tell us that things are now normal again. We're always waiting for everything else to get cleaned up, and then we can do what we think we need to do. That's this idea of worrying. Well, and once I get my clothing figured out, once I get my what I'm going to drink figured out, once I get my food figured out, then I can seek God first. Once I retire from my job, once I graduate school, once I get financially stable, once I fix this issue, once I get some more free time, then I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. We're focused on all the wrong things, and now we have stress and worry as opposed to going, you know what? I'm not going to stress about those things. I'm not going to worry about those things. I'm just going to focus on God and let everything else ride because God's number one in my life, and I'm seeking first Him, His kingdom, and His righteousness. Now, that's a challenge. That's hard because we as humans are worriers. We just, yeah, but don't I need food? Right? I mean, that's what the people in the audience were going to be saying right then. Jesus, don't worry about what you're going to eat. God will take care of you like He does the birds. And you're like, okay, that sounds nice in theory, Jesus. But Jesus goes, seek first the kingdom. And then look what He says in this last part, which is made kind of small up here on the screen. He says, and all these things will be added to you. What things? You ever thought about what things? Now, if we just saw this verse by itself, you know, as a nice little one verse saying on a picture or something like that, we would probably guess, well, all these things probably means blessings in heaven and spiritual wealth and all that, right? I don't think that's what he's talking about. Because if you back up, the last things that he talked about, verse 31, what we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear for clothing. Verse 32, the Gentiles eagerly seek those things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. I was told by a preaching instructor one time, don't say the word things a lot, but Jesus does here. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What I see here is a promise. Here's the promise I see, that if we're seeking first the kingdom, we'll take care of your needs. That's what I see here, a promise. Now, that might sound like, whoa, that's a big leap there, Cliff. You're going to guarantee, I guarantee, that if you're seeking first the kingdom of His righteousness, if God is number one in your life, you're living for Him all the time, food isn't going to need to be a worry for you. What you're going to drink is not going to be a worry for you. What you're going to wear is not going to be a worry for you. I don't know how. But what I see here is a promise that God will provide. Now, He's not providing you a steak at Tahoe Joe's after church. He's not providing you all the Diet Shasta maybe you ever wanted, because that's what I like to drink. Or, you know, your favorite Walmart jeans, because that's where I buy my jeans. You know, that kind of thing. He's not. It might be not what you want, but from what I see right here is God's providence. Now, that's hard for us to think about because we're not people who like to trust in God. We're not people who want to admit that other people provide for us. We want to think that we do it on our own. But here, I see Jesus promising, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, God will take care of those basic needs. How He's going to do it, I don't know. Maybe it's from your church family. Maybe it's because you're such a kind, loving person, other people want to be kind and loving to you when you're in a time of need. I mean, there's all sorts of ways this could work out. Seek first His kingdom. That means do what He says, and God will take care of you. Not God's going to fill your bank account. No, He's talking about very basic things here. So I'm not talking about some kind of weird prosperity, abundant kind of thing. But just don't stress about those things. Focus on the right things and God will take care of you. Why? Verse 34. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's Jesus' point. And I like how this version on the screen put it. He goes, you have enough to worry about today. Why focus on all those other things? You have enough to worry about. Don't worry about tomorrow. Focus on right now. There's enough trouble out there in the future. Now, I know that's a lot, But how do we break this down? What are two points maybe from this that we can make? Here's what I see the two main points Jesus is saying in this passage as we talk about living in the kingdom. Number one, don't stress about items that God will take care of. You don't have to worry about food. Don't have to worry about what you're going to drink. Don't have to worry about what you're going to wear. God says He'll take care of that. And let's back up out of that. There's a lot of other things that God will take care of. Trust that He will. Trust that He will. Don't stress about the items that God will take care of. Because when you stress about the items that you're not in charge of, you just have anxiety, depression, and stress. Number two, don't stress about items you have no control over. Can we control what everybody else is doing every day, every year? No, we can't. Can we even control what's going to happen tomorrow? No, we can't. Today has enough trouble of its own. Don't stress about the items you have no control over. I go through different, times in my life where I focus maybe on the market a little bit. Like, what's the market doing today? And I can't control it. I don't have enough buying power. I'm not Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos where I can just go, I'm going to drop money over here and it'll change everything. I can't do that. So why am I stressed about it? I can't control. I have no control over it. I have no control over what Vladimir Putin does in the Ukraine. I don't. I have no control over whether or not there's a cure for COVID. I don't have any control over that. I don't have any control over whether or not the United States of America is going to last for the next 50, 7,500 years. I have no control over that. I can't. I have no control over what other people do. I have no control over that. So why do I stress about the things that I have no control over and the things that maybe you think you have control over? Don't worry. God's going to take care of. Focusing on the right thing, on the wrong things, will bring you stress. But focusing on the right things will give your life purpose and meaning. So what's the point then of this sermon, this section? Seek God first. Our purpose is to seek Him out, and everything else will work itself out. Now that's a Cliff Sabro paraphrase of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but I think that's Jesus' point. Just make me number one. Do what I want you to do, and everything else will work its way out. It might not work out the way you want it to. It might not even work out in this life. It might even result in hardship and things like that in this life. We're not promised an easy life. But things will make sense. Your life will have meaning. You'll have direction and purpose if you're seeking first the kingdom. The lesson is yours this morning. An invitation song has been selected. If anybody has a need, you can come forward and talk to me now. As together we stand and as we sing.
Thanks again for listening to West Visalia Audio. We hope these messages have helped you grow and inspired you to take action. Be sure to check in each week for more on-the-go content or visit our YouTube channel to watch the live video. Thanks for participating, and God bless.